This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Well, it's good to see you guys. All right. One of the things I want to do this morning is we have people in the room, we have people online, so let's do something a little different. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, have you guys all say good morning at the same time, but you're going to have to like say it loud enough they can hear it through the mic, okay? And we're going to talk to the people out there on the video, okay, online. So, and people online want you to type good morning there, okay? So you guys ready? You have to be really loud because this is the only mic you're going to use is mine. All right, ready? One, two, three. There you go. So we want to welcome the people online, people in the room as well. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 9, go ahead and get those ready. If you haven't gotten the app, a couple of things to kind of show you. We have a QR code that you can scan now in the room. That has the kind of the outline. You can do that. Just hold your, if you don't know how, one of you guys will teach them how, just hold your camera up to that. Get the QR code. It shows you kind of the passage, and you can kind of follow along. There's not an outline this week. But if you don't like that, go on the app, and in the app, you can actually go into the worship service. You can find the message notes, and you can write things in. I like it better to keep notes that way because my phone is with me wherever I go, and so as God speaks, is there something going on, you can do that. As we welcome everyone online, a special welcome. As you guys notice, Luke is not here today as our worship leader. He and Angel are going for a well-deserved vacation. Have you ever known a vacation not to be well-deserved? You ever heard that before? They don't deserve to go away. But for them, they work really hard. So they're away, and Carson is leading today along with some other, the band, and you get a chance to thank them. They put so much time in and just really just encourage them. I love the way Luke leads, and he shares kind of the worship up here, so make sure you thank those guys and get them just to hear from you. So I appreciate you being here today. Today, I want you kind of thinking, all right? So good thinking, and I want to kind of do a quick survey. How many guys collect things? Anybody collect anything in the room? I mean, you don't have to give it to us, okay? Quite a few of you guys collect stuff in here. All right, wow. So any people collect coins? Anybody collect coins? Okay, a few people. Anybody collect, like, baseball cards or anything like that? That's old school. I used to collect baseball cards. I wish I had mine now because they're probably worth a fortune. My mom threw them away, which is probably $1 million worth of stuff. So, you guys, anybody collect, like, miniature cars? Anybody collect real cars? All right, not in this room, huh? But there are people that collect real cars and that kind of stuff. People collect all kinds of things. I'm one of those people a little bit different. I collect experiences. And that's really kind of the generation of the day, collect experiences. Maybe you're a person that collects experiences. Like, I have a real good friend. He and his wife collect going to national parks. That's their thing. So they travel, and I live through them, okay? I watch their pictures. I ask them, what'd they go see? They've been out to Alaska. I love that because I can't go. I go to as many as I can, but they go to all of them. They have it mapped out so they can cover each one. So that's what they're collecting. We have a lady here at the church that her thing is she's collecting experiences at waterfalls in North Carolina. So today, I don't know if you're watching or not, or you're at a waterfall, but that's a really cool thing. If you haven't done that, Western North Carolina has so many beautiful waterfalls, and just to sit, right? You ever just sit at a waterfall and just enjoy it, and just kind of the water coming down, the sound of it, the experience of it, because experiences imprint on us, right? And they become part of who we are. Some of you guys collect experience of going to the beach. We actually have people at the beach. And so in your mind, for those of us in the room, we're going to go to the beach through them, okay? Does that make sense? So they're sitting there maybe out on the beach. We've had people do this. They've sent me pictures. We've seen it where they're on the beach with their phone attending service, which is not fair, okay? We're all here. Where are you? But they do that. And that's a great way to worship, isn't it? So maybe that's you. Some of you go to the mountains and do that kind of experience. Some of you I talk to, you collect coffee experiences, like coffee tasting, like wine tasting. You're those kind, and you love that, and you can compare, and you have your group, and you talk about it, and you get into it, and it becomes part of you, and you learn about it, and you just love to collect those experiences, and that's fun, isn't it? Because experiences are something different. They're just something different. I'll tell you what I'm collecting experience-wise, and it's trips to baseball stadiums, okay? And so this summer for Micah's graduation present, we are going to Baltimore, because he's kind of with me on this, and we're going to go see Camden Yards, like the first of the new stadiums. So we're going to go do that and add that to our collection, because we've been to two different Braves stadiums and experienced that. We've been to Philadelphia and experienced that stadium, and then we were in Houston, and we experienced that, and we actually found out we were there during the scandal. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but they were cheating at Houston, they were watching the pitchers, the catcher sign, and then the guys in the dugout would beat a trash can to tell the batter, it's going to be a fastball, it's going to be a curveball, it's going to be a sinker, whatever. If you're not baseball, just know they're cheating. And we were there at the time, and we didn't hear them banging on anything, but I guess it was going on, so that was an interesting experience. I've been, as a kid, my first time ever was at Wrigley. In Chicago, that was my first baseball experience. I love that. I've been to the Angel Stadium, Dodger Stadium. So let me tell you what I do, okay, in case you ever want to experience this. We go for batting practice. Hour and a half before the game starts, they open the gates, almost every stadium. You go in and you can stand anywhere you want to and try to catch a home run, foul ball, whatever. And there's only a few people there. And you actually can talk to the players. They'll come over and talk to you. Oral Hershiser, if you ever heard of him, a Christian ball player, when he was a coach, he was down in the bullpen, and we were right behind that Angel Stadium, and he looked at Ethan when Ethan was really small, and he didn't look at us, okay? He spoke to us, and he said, I'll sign him when he's old enough. And we didn't know who he was talking to, so he looked around. There's nobody else around, and he goes, Oral Hershiser's talking to me and to my son. That was so cool, and that only happens in batting practice, okay? So go early. Don't be one of those people that show up in the eighth inning, okay? Go early, and then what I do is get a hot dog and a souvenir cup of Coke, and I sit down and I build a mental picture. Anybody else do that in your life? You just take a mental snapshot, and you go, I don't ever want to forget this moment. So at every stadium, I have like a mental snapshot. I can put myself where we're sitting, and I know exactly what it felt like. I remember if it was a good hot dog or not. I remember just sitting there soaking in the atmosphere. I don't know if you do this, but I love that. And begin it. It's part of who I am. It's part of the excitement. I look forward to it. But let me tell you what I would rather experience more than anything else in the world. And maybe you're like me. If I could experience anything in the world and have this kind of a collection, I would go back when Jesus walked this earth physically, and I would love to have been there. Maybe you're like me, because we read it and the word's alive, but I wanted to be there. I'd love to be there on that first Christmas, right? And the angels, how they blew everybody away, and to hear them say, do not be afraid. That would have been a crazy time. And to see baby Jesus, right? Wouldn't it have been cool to experience what that was like and just to know that's the Lord and Savior? Or how about when Jesus was 12? Would you like to see Jesus pre-teens? What was he like? Was he trouble? Was he good? Was he attentive? And he was arguing in the temple with the priests or asking them questions, and they were asking him questions. They were going back and forth. What was that like? If you could understand Aramaic and you could actually be there, wouldn't that be cool? You know, would you ask him questions then? What was he like as a 12-year-old? Or if you could jump to year 30, when he was 30 and he is in the Jordan River with John the Baptist and they're standing there and the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove, what was that like? And then the voice of God, is it James Earl Jones? Is that what you hear when the voice of God speaks? A lot of us do, you know, speaking Aramaic or whatever you're speaking, and he says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Did the earth shake? Would I have shaken to hear the voice of God? Wouldn't that be cool? And to see that happen? Or how about Jesus teaching in the Sermon on the Mount? Would you be taking notes, you know? Man, that's good stuff, Jesus, that's good stuff. He probably did it more than once because they all recorded it. But just to be there with the crowd and go, this is good stuff, Jesus. It's challenging stuff. But really, did he wink? Did he smile? What was his tone like? I'd love to be able to experience that. Or any of the healings. Would you like to have seen any of the healings? I know for me, one that I would like to experience is on the Sabbath day when the man had the withered hand and he stretched it out and it was healed. What did that look like? I mean, because if you could see it, it was all withered and worn and suddenly it was healthy and whole. Wow. You know, you would like look at that and hardly believe it. Because right in front of you, the God of the universe is working as the sun, and just everything's happening, and you see it in front of you. Cool experience. I don't know if I'd want to see Easter. The crucifixion. I don't know if I'd want to see that. I've gone back and forth with that in my life, you know, to really picture it. I mean, we can see it in a movie, right? The passion was good, but to actually be there and the brutality of it, I don't know if I want to see that. You know, the darkness for 3 hours, the sin of the world on him. I don't know what that experience would have been like. It would have been moving. It would have become part of me. It would have changed my life. So maybe for that reason, I'd want to be there. But it would have been different. Definitely want to see the resurrection, though, right? I try to choose between which one. Would you like to be there with Mary where they didn't recognize Jesus in the morning? She said, are you a gardener? Kind of thinking he was a gardener and not really recognizing him. Or I think I would rather be with the disciples that afternoon, that evening, when they're in the room, the doors close, and suddenly Jesus shows up. For you Star Trek fans, it's like it got beamed in there, right? It's like, wow, there's Jesus. Where did he come from? Who opened the door? And there he is in front of you, and he says, Shalom. It's like, wow. I didn't have a place for that in my brain. And here it is, and the experience would have changed you. Anybody else want to be like that? You wish you could, and we don't get that, right? We get to read it, and the word is living, so we can experience it that way. And I think God wants us to experience him in our time and our place. But if I could be anywhere, I'd love to see Jesus, and I'm going to tell you one thing I'd really like to see. For me, I would like to see the event we're going to read about today. It's Luke chapter 9. It imprinted in the Gospels, the gospel writers. And for those that were witnesses of it, it changed them because all four of them wrote about it. All four of the gospel writers wrote about it. It's a pretty famous one, but to see it and how it worked, I would love to be there. So we're going to work through that today. We're going to talk about how that applies to us today and maybe what God wants to do in our life to take us one step further in our faith. So Luke chapter 9, verse 10, we're going to start there. We're going to stop and start, kind of work our way through it. So if you have your Bibles, turn there and put it up on the screen. Luke chapter 9, verse 10 goes like this. I think we have that. Get on the screen there. When the crowds, on the return, the apostles told him all that they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. Let's kind of stop there for a second because we're in the middle of the story. On their return, what does that mean? Okay, he's talking to the 12 disciples, 12 apostles, and they had gone early in chapter 9. They had gone out, and Jesus had sent them out two by two. He says, go into the towns, and I want you to preach there. I want you to heal there. But I don't want you to take anything with you. Don't take any food. Don't take any extra clothes. Just go. And I want you to do this. And now they've come back and they told him all that they had done. Now, have you ever been in a situation where somebody tries to one-up a story? You know what I'm talking about? I think this is what the disciples do. Where you go, I caught a fish that was that big. And the person, well, I caught a fish. He was that big, and it was a better day than yours. You ever had that? Or I went to a really good restaurant, and they go, well, I went to a better restaurant. You know that one-upmanship? I think that apostles were doing that with one another. They were with Jesus. Two of them are going, yeah, we had a really good time. We went to this village. We began to preach. We didn't have any food. We got hungry, and this family had brought us in. And they fed us lunch, and it was the best meal we ever had. And we go, God, that's really cool. And the next guy goes, well, that's nothing. We had dessert. You had food, but we had dessert, and it was really, really good. So we top you. And then another apostle would have said, two of them would have gone, we went to a town, and they didn't let us in. And nobody would listen. And Jesus, you told us to dust our feet off and walk away. And so we did that. We went to the next town, and everybody wanted to come, and everybody listened, and the whole town came. And they go, we love this idea of the kingdom. Where's the king? We want to know this Jesus. We did some healing as God worked through us. And they would have told another whopper story. And you got this picture. This is what they're doing. They're telling their whopper stories. And they're having a good time because they went out and they did all this stuff without any extra food. Money, extra clothing. So God took care of them the whole time because none of us would do that, right? You ever been anywhere without your credit card, your debit card? You got no money. What do you do then? That's a tough world to be in, isn't it? And the disciples in that same thing, we had nothing but God provided. So that's their situation. Next verse, it goes on like this. When the crowds learned it, I mean, they heard, the crowds came, they followed Jesus, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. So, okay, they're out there in the middle of nowhere, and this crowd came. This crowd came. And there's a word there that stood out to me. I don't know about you. There's a word in this verse that just completely stands out to me. Because they're having a good time, the 12 of them plus Jesus, and they're telling their stories. And when you're telling your stories and having a good time, what's the last thing you want? A bunch of people to come in and mess up the time, right? A lot of us would look at the crowd and go, they're a distraction. They're a problem. You know, we're just having a good time. It's the 12 of us, 13 counting Jesus. We're just telling our stories. Now this crowd comes. They don't know our stories. They're just kind of there. And it says one word. Jesus welcomed them. Jesus welcomed them. Why did it stand out to me? Because to Jesus, they weren't a distraction. They were the purpose. I think for a lot of people, it's like, yeah, we love being with Jesus. We love hanging out with him. We love our time of worship. So don't bother us, you know? I just want my time. And here Jesus says, no, you're why I'm here. Come on in. Come on, guys, let's let him in. Let's be part of this. So he welcomed the crowds. And then it continues. Now the day began to wear away. So it's getting late. And the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are in a desolate place. Let's pause there for a second. So they're talking to Jesus, and this is the way I hear it. Maybe I'm the only one. Jesus, it's getting late. It's getting late, Jesus. We just got back from our trip. We've been traveling. There's a big crowd here. Would you send them on? Send them out. Tell them to go get some food. Tell them to go find a place to stay. Because we just are tired. And there's nothing out here. We're in a desolate place. So let's send them away. Let's us hang out here. And then you get rid of them. We don't want to say anything to them. We're a little scared of them. So if you tell them to go home, they'll go home. I don't know anybody else see it besides me. Because they're trying to sound like, yeah, we're real concerned for the people. And if they hang out here, you know, to send them out. Because we can't really take care of them. I mean, that's what they're trying to sound good. But I think there's a little bit like, let's move them off. Let's move them off. And then the next verse, notice what Jesus said. He said to them, you give them something to eat. A pretty profound statement, right? They've been away on this missions trip. They didn't take anything with them, and they still don't have anything. Our pockets are empty. And he says, you give them something to eat. There's a crowd here. You want to send them away. You give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. All right, we have a 2-piece meal from Long John Silver. That's all we've got, all right? That's all we've got here. That's all this little boy had. And so unless we go out and buy food for all these people, that's the only other choice. And then it says this, for about 5,000 men. So kind of get this. There's a lot of numbers in this. So we're about 5,000 men. And let's kind of do some numbers. You guys up for some math today? There's a lot of math in today, okay? So they used to count men, all right? I know it doesn't fit our culture. Just go with it, okay? But later on, we learn there's men and women and children there. So just for conjecture, can we do this? Let's say every man was married. So there's two, and they all each brought 2 kids, average. Does that sound good? So there's now not one 5,000 group, but now there's 4. 4, all right, man, woman, children, you got that? So how many people, what do you think? 20,000. We got a math major. That's awesome. Good job. So let's say there's 20,000 people. That's the crowd. You kind of picture that. This is not a small group. This is a football stadium, small football stadium. And we know from Mark that one of the disciples kind of chips in and says, look, if we had 200 denarii, we couldn't even give them a morsel, just a bite. Now, a denarius is a single day's wage. All right, so he's saying 200 days worth, we give them enough to get a bite. Now, I'm going to give you some more math. In Winston-Salem, the average income is 27,000. Did you know that? 27,000. Some of you guys are feeling really good, and some of you guys are not feeling really good right now. 27,000. So 200 days, I did some math. It's around $20,000 just to give them a bite. It's going to cost us about $20,000. And Jesus, our pockets are empty. You told us not to take anything with us. We still don't have anything. That's just a bite. Now, you're not going to feed a family a bite. You've got a 2-piece meal. I didn't go to Long John Silver. You can go after this. I'm going to guess. Let's say they run a special for us. We got 20,000 people. I'll give it to you for $5 each. All right? Does that make sense? We're going to give you $5 each for this meal for 20,000. We're going to cut you a deal. All right? So $5 each times 20,000 people equals how much money? A lot. Yeah. Oh, come on. You can do the math. 5 times 2 is 10. Add it on there. $100,000. $100,000. We don't have $100,000, Jesus. We got nothing. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. So you got to kind of do all that math to see what Jesus is asking them to do. And he's not being facetious. He's stretching their faith. You give them something to eat. And they're going, we can't do that. We can't do that. Let's continue on, see the next part of it. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And it continues. And they did so and had them all sit down. So this is for the teachers in here, because the teachers all would have thought this. I've got a crowd. I got to organize them. So you get a group of 50, and everybody got to sit down, because you keep wandering from one side to the other. I can't keep track of you. So you guys all sit down. You sit down. You sit down. There's 20,000 people. There's 50 people in each group. Everybody sit down. Does it make sense? Because Jesus has a plan. And Jesus is organized. We got to feed these people, but we're going to do it a certain way, so everybody sit down. All right, all makes sense? Some more math for you. Continue on. Next verse. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, because that's how Jesus would pray. And he said a blessing over them, which is some discussion about what does that mean? Did he pray over the fish and the loaves, or did he pray over the people? Let's say both. He said a blessing over it, but he looked up to heaven. And then he broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And it goes on, and they all ate and were satisfied, which means more than a morsel, more than a bite. They had the full 2-piece meal, okay? And what was left over was picked up, and there were 12 baskets of broken pieces. And every one of the stories that's told is all the same thing. Great, isn't it? It's a great story. And I want you to think this through for a second. What did he do? And why did he do it? There are 20,000 people. There are 50 groups, 50 in each group. And he said, I want you to go feed them. And I wish I could have seen this. Because how did it work? Did it, as he broke it, did it multiply? Because you can't feed that many people on 2 fish and 5 loaves. And how did he do it? He broke it and he gave it to disciples. Says, you guys do it. You guys do it. You guys do it. I'm one of those why didn't he do kind of people. Anybody else like that? Why didn't you do it this way? Because I think I can solve everything for everybody. Anybody else like me in here? I'm being honest with you. I think I can solve your problem. And if I was Jesus, what would I have done? I would have gone to Exodus. Remember in Exodus? People were hungry. What did God do? Manna from heaven. I would have said, everybody close your eyes. And they open their eyes. Oh, there's food on the ground. Just pick it up and eat it. It's coriander. It tastes like coriander. It's really good. They're like little dumplings. Pick those up and eat them. God could have done that, right? Remember in Exodus when the people were still hungry and they were grumbling because all we're eating is manna every day? What did God send to them? Quail. You guys remember that? Anybody else eat quail in here? I'm going off subject for a second. But if you eat quail, it's really, really good. It's like chicken. Be careful of the bird shot. Okay, if anybody like me, I grew up eating quail, and my family would bring us quail, and they would shoot with birdshot, and you'd bite down this wonderful piece of quail, and your teeth would crack because there's this little pellet in there they didn't get out. So if you're eating quail, be careful. But anyway, that didn't happen in Exodus, because Exodus didn't have buckshot or birdshot. What they did was God sent the quail, and they flew about eye level, and they put up nets and stuff. They just caught them. And they were so hungry, it said they almost got sick from eating. I mean, so full, they almost got sick from eating all the quail. Why didn't God do that? There's 20,000 people. How are you going to feed them fast? Bring it in. Bring it right to their table. Here's your quill. Eat that. He didn't do that. He could have done something crazy with fish. What did he do? He broke it and gave his disciples. You take it, and you take it, and you take it, and you take it. One more thing with math, okay? 20,000 people. Get out your calculators. 20,000 people. 50 people in each group. How many groups do you have? All right, 20,000, 400, right? I'm cheating, I'll give it to you. 400 groups. You got 12 people, 12 disciples. How many groups are they in charge of each? Algebra time. 33 plus, right? And remainder. Each disciple had to go out 33 times. Here's some fish and here's some bread. Take it to that group. And while they're doing it, here's number 2 disciple. You go do it. Here's number 3, you go do it. Number 4, all the way through 12, and they're out there, and then they come back. I got an empty basket. Go out there, go out there, go out there. This was not a boom kind of thing. This took some time. It took some organization, took a plan, right? And the whole time, Jesus is doing it through them because he wanted them to experience something that stretched their faith. He wanted them to be partners with him because he could have done it any number of ways. All right, one more test to your math skills. So it's right there in the text. There was a remainder. When you do divisions, there's a remainder. What was the remainder? How many baskets of remainder? 12. Why not 3? Why not 20 baskets? Thank you, Micah. There's 12. He was here in the first hour. You just killed me. Next time you're in front of people, I'm going to do that to you. Thank you, Micah. So there's a remainder of 12. There were 12 disciples, right? So they walked away with a souvenir. And they probably, if they were like me, I would have eaten the food, and then I would have kept the basket. And I would have hung the basket wherever I was going as a reminder that there was a time that I had nothing. God sent me out. Jesus sent me out on these little runs. I had absolutely nothing. I was fed. I was fed. I was fed. That was a big step of faith. I didn't have anything with me. He took care of me. But then right after that, He took my faith this much bigger, and he just fed 20,000 people, and I don't ever want to forget that. And they didn't, because they wrote it down. And they said, don't ever forget that. And now billions of people read this thing, and they go, yeah, God is bigger than I thought. And he wants to work through people, because that's how God works now, is through people, because he wants our faith to grow, and he wants our experience to grow, and he wants us to have a reminder of who he is and what he can do. And he doesn't repeat miracles exactly the same way. He does everybody something new, something different, but he wants to work through us. Here's a question I've asked myself. We brought this up before. I just want to do it again. Why are we here? Not why are we here in the service. That's a good question too, huh? But why are we here where we are? And when we tell the story of Bridges, we go back to this a lot because we planted in 2007. And when we planted a church, it was the early days of church planting. I actually ran into a guy the other day that was part of the group that was getting church planting going. And I went up to him, and he was in kind of in charge of this big convention called the Exponential Convention where church planters go. And he got it all started. I went up and I said, hey, we were one of the guys there at the beginning. He goes, you're still around. I go, yeah, I'm old. Yeah, but it was still fun to see him. And we emailed him and just told him some of our story. But when we got started, they said, go where people are going. Go where they're building. So in 2007, where were they building in our area? Those who were around then, they were building in two places, Kernersville and Pofftown. And eventually kind of went around to Louisville and Clemens over there. When we started, it was right in Pofftown. Now you see all these houses over there. There's still things happening over there. And Reagan High School was there. And so we went to Reagan and said, hey, can we meet here? We wanted to start a church. And they go, no. So I figured they hadn't heard from God. So we prayed some more. We went back and said, can we meet here? And they go, no. It's okay. So we figured they hadn't heard from God. We kept praying. I went to them one time and said, can we have a service there on a Sunday night? Because we're going to take this Sunday morning off, go do some service thing. We come there. They said, yeah, you can come there Sunday night. So we had a great service there, and I was there at the auditorium last night for an event, and it was really cool to sit there and go, I remember we had a service here in 2008, and it was so much fun. We thought, for sure, we were so good to them. We took care of stuff. Everything was great. We went back, can we meet here? And they go, no. And after a while, you kind of get the feeling God's saying no, and I know the churches have gone there and asked, and they've all said no. Church planters have come to me in the area, we want to move in Reagan. They're not going to let you, but you can ask, and that's okay. That's their school. That's their thing, but bigger thing is God's in control. So we said, God, we can't meet there. Where are we going to meet? And God opened the doors for us at the Carmike, which is an old town. Now, I know it's not far from Old Town to Pofftown, right? It's not very far. It's a world of difference, isn't it? Those of you who know this area, that's a world of difference. And we go, why are we here? Because even after Carmike kind of closed the doors for us there, we moved to North and we went to Old Town. Now we're here in the midst of Old Town. And why? And I think it hit me the other day, a while ago, I saw this stat, maybe, and I've shared it with some of you guys. There was a Harvard study, and it said this about our area, that Winston-Salem is the second worst city in the country for helping children rise out of poverty. Winston-Salem is the second worst city in the country for helping children rise out of poverty. Doesn't mean we have the most children in poverty. We're in the top 20 for that, which is scary. We just don't get them out of poverty. So if a child's born into poverty here, they're going to probably stay in poverty. And they're going to miss out on a lot of what God has for them. And that's where God's put us, right in the heart of that. And I think part of it, I don't know about how you guys are, but part of it, I can hear Jesus say, you give them something to eat. Right? I mean, we're here, and there's the crowd. And if the crowd was here, what would Jesus do? He would welcome them. He says, you give them something to eat. That's one of the reasons we have a food pantry, and that we have a clothes closet, and that we have a backpack program. Because it's like Jesus is saying, you're my hands and feet. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And that's kind of stuck with me. And one of the things that we've done is we've looked and go, God, we're just a little church. And we're just a little church. Even with our people online, people in the room, we're not a big church. And like our pockets are empty. And we don't carry a lot of stuff with us, right? And yet God has fed thousands of people to the food pantry because he keeps sending us free stuff. And those that are part of that, you get to see God work in some amazing ways because you got stories to tell, don't you? Some of you are in the room of how people go, we got stuff to get rid of. Can you help us? And we go, sure, give us the stuff and we'll hand it out. And we go, God, you have us here and we're just a small church. And for some of you guys going, I'm just a single individual. What can I do? But here's the thing that God looks at. He doesn't care the size of the church. He cares about the size of their faith. And he doesn't care about how much you have. He cares about how much faith you have because it's God providing, right? All they say is, we got a two-piece meal, and he says, that's no problem, that's enough. you're enough. I will work through you, and I will do it through you, because that's what happens. Because here's the deal. When a small church or a single individual does something for God, who gets the glory? God does, doesn't he? Because we're going, we can't do it. It's got to be God. It's got to be God. And that's one of the exciting things about what we're doing, is just see God do some stuff. 2 years ago, we started something called the Multiply Campaign, and those of you who have been around remember that. We said, okay, we have a ministry center. We want to do something. So what we did, we gave out $100 to everybody there. And we said, well, we want you to use the parable of talents. Today, we'll just say it's like the two fish and the five loaves. We're going to give this out to you, and we're going to say, hey, we want you to invest it. Take some time, and we did this a couple of years ago, and just take some time. See what God wants to do through you. Use your talents. Do a thing that you can do, like painting or yard work or whatever, or sell something, or do something fun and then get sponsors. And people did that. And we took that $5,000 and gave it out. And at the end of the time, about 20,000 came in, a little over 20,000. That's multiplication, right? And then we did it again this fall because with Rooted, and there was just a great outpouring. It was a lot of fun. And now we're going to do it again. We kind of, every time we praise, we don't want to keep repeating, though. You don't want to just do something because it works, because then it becomes the thing, you know, this thing works. So we just spent a lot of time praying, okay, God, do you want us to do it again? It seemed like, yeah, do it another time, and we'll just see. So we're going to do it again this summer, and today, it's not like Oprah, where you can get $20,000, or look under your seat, you're going to get this big prize. But we are going to give out money again today, and if you're online, you can come here, you can drive down right now, you come, or we'll send it to you. We'll make sure you get it. At the end of the service today, Rodney Harden will be out there with probably about $4,000 worth of money if you want to rob him. He'll be right outside standing at the door to give that to you. And he's not in here, so I can say that. Just take it, pray about it, and say, God, what do you want me to do? And we have some cool things that maybe God wants to do for you. And I want to just say, first of all, don't do anything at first. We're saying basically we're giving it today, and then in June the 13th, I think, we're going to have everything in place. We're going to have videos, things to help you. But if you know exactly what God's telling you, he's telling you to get started, great. But otherwise, just stop and pray. Jesus looked up to heaven and he blessed it, right? That's what we want to do. God, this belongs to you. What do you want me to do? This summer, we're going to do some fun things. We already have Multiply Farms going. If you didn't know this, we have fresh eggs that you can pick up here. They used the seed money a while ago. They have chickens. We're going out there today to visit the chickens. I was told not to kiss a chicken. They have salmonella. I didn't know this. Not that I was going to kiss a chicken, but not their chickens have some, I guess, chickens all over. So don't kiss a chicken, but you can have the eggs, okay? And they've been doing this. They have all these chickens. They keep multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And so there's more and more eggs. So we're doing that. We are going to have a yard sale July the 24th. You cannot sell anybody you know, okay? It is only things. And if you have things you want to get rid of, July 24th, bring it out here and get rid of it. We'll be glad to do that. On the same time, we're going to do a silent auction. We already have 2 oil changes that have been donated, and we have off-Broadway tickets that have been donated, and we have tickets to Hamilton that have been donated. Yeah, some of you guys are like, I'm bidding for it, so you can't have it. But anyway, those kinds of things. If you have things you want to do, silent auction, and I only told you guys, I didn't tell first service, okay? So I forgot, so you guys hear about it first. But if you have something you want to auction off, all that money's going to come back to this, and it's fun. I'll tell you my story. I'll try to be transparent. 2 years ago, I chickened out. I just sold something and donated the money. It was easy, you know. Okay, God, this is a sacrifice. I'm going to do this. The last thing we did in the fall is I said, I want to walk. I can walk. And you guys know we did the Circle the City. And Micah, my son who already jumped in, thank you, he said, I want to go. And so that was fun. And then Luke said, I want to go. So there's 3 of us. So I went from 1 person to 3, and we took donations. I said, that's really cool. That was fun. So what can I do next? Well, I heard about a thing called the 100-Mile Challenge. And what it is our North Carolina State Park System has put out a 100-Mile Challenge saying that during the course of a year, try to walk, bike, run, kayak 100 miles, and you get recognized on their website, and there's people that do that, and they write in. I thought, that would be fun. You know, just go to different state parks, 10 different state parks, divide it up by 10, because I like math. So 10 state parks, 10 different days. And then I thought, how can we multiply it? What if we got 10 people to do that? So Micah said he'll go. I've got another guy who said he'll go. He doesn't even live here. He lives in the state. And so I got 3. If I can get 7 more, here's the plan, okay, because I want us to be multiplied. Each one of us, 10, going to try to find 10 people to be our sponsors. So we'll have 10 times 10. We're going to ask each one of them to donate 100 or you know, give 100 toward this. So 10 times 10 times 100. Anybody good with math? 10,000. Wouldn't that be cool? And all I got to do is walk. I mean, or bike or kayak in a state park. But again, it's not about what I'm going to do. It's not about what you're going to do. It's about seeing what God will do. And that's what excites me. I don't know what God's going to do. I mean, it would turn out this may be just crazy. I don't know. We do this every time. And I look at this and I go, I've said it now, right? It's out there. You guys are all being quiet. I don't blame you because now it's online and that doesn't go away. So now everybody's going to hold me to it, right? It's like, this is scary. I even prayed it last night. It's like, okay, God, if you don't want me to do it, tell me now because I don't want to say it because if I say it, I got to do it, right? So that's kind of where it is. But isn't that what faith is about? And then I think God multiplied this a little bigger. So here's the part. Some of you guys know about this. We've been raising money for a ministry center, and we're going to keep doing that. And it takes about $17,005 to do that. That's what God brought in the last 2 years. It's been amazing. But then we kind of looked around, and we had this vision several years ago of what we really could do in this city. And there's pieces of it, and it's been kind of delayed. And we looked around at one piece called the Child Development Program. Because the children in our area are not getting out of poverty, and you know what the schools are like here in our area. There's a wonderful, amazing staff, teachers, everything that are in our area, but the schools are failing. It's because the kids are coming in so far behind, you can't even keep up. And then COVID hit. Now, the teachers in here know what COVID did, and they won't really know till next year. But can you imagine? You got these kids that can't read, and they can't do math anyway. And they just spent a year online. Do you think it got better or worse? It got much worse. And we have a choice. Our choice is we can complain, we can get down, we can get discouraged, or we can wade into it and say, God, we're just this little group. Here's our 2 fish and 5 loaves. Use us. So we said, it's time to start the child development program. And that's what we're going to do, a place where after school, the kids can come. We'll give tutoring. We're going to give mentoring. We're going to connect them with different things in our community. We're going to pour into their lives. We're going to introduce them to Jesus. We're going to help their families navigate the systems here because we're not going to try to recreate the wheel. We're just going to say there's all these groups that we're willing to help. They just need somebody to come alongside them and said, we'll help you because we know how to navigate the system. God's taught us that over the last few years. And so we said, God, is it time? And we feel like he's saying it's time. And if it's time, what do you do? So we said, okay, it's going to take some money because I can't do it. I've got a full-time job plus some other things going on in my life. And that's not my giftedness. And so we're going to have to hire somebody to be in charge. I'm going to need some volunteers. And so we kind of did some math. And we said, it's going to cost about $25,000 just to get it started. So God, if you want this to go, here's the deal. $17,500 for the ministry center, $25,000 for the child development program. Anybody go with math today? A lot of math today. $42,500. That's a big jump from last year. And here's the deal. Again, if you keep doing the same thing, your faith doesn't grow. Your confidence in yourself grows. So we said, okay, God, if that's what you're asking, I don't know for sure how it's going to work. I'm standing up here before you today. I'm just going, I'm just probably running the numbers like you are going, God, I'm not sure. But we're just going to head out because we feel like this is what God's telling us to do is leadership. So that's the goal. August 22nd, we're going to bring the money back in and just see what God does. And we're putting it out there. So we're going to ask you to find your thing and put it out there. August 21st, we're going to have a cornhole tournament here at the campus and try to raise some money that way. So if you're a cornhole player, you'll get good at it. But the next day, we're just going to celebrate what God's going to do. So August 22nd, and we'll just trust him to do something. And I kind of went this what if thing. You ever do that with the what if? I think part of me was like, what if we don't do this? Well, it's easy if you don't do it, right? We just go, okay, it's us. It's good. We're good. We're just going to worship and continue on. But what if we don't? I mean, I think we're going to miss some stuff, especially for the children in our area and their community. And we're going to miss God at work. And so it's like, yeah, but then what if we do it? What if we do see God at work? What if we do have a story to tell? This is what God did, and that was amazing. And these are the lives that were changed. And these are the families that are different. And this is how the community is different. Because God's at work. I love those kinds of stories. And that's what we're going to head out and do. And then one more thing. What if it has nothing to do with Multiply? Can we just take that off the table for a second? What if you're out there today and you feel like God's saying, take a step of faith in anything? And you're going, God, I don't have any money. God, I don't have any talents. I don't know how I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. And all he's going to say is, what do you have? I got 2 fish and 5 loaves. Okay, that's enough. Because all you have to do is give me what you've got. I'm the one going to do the work. You're going to see me at work. But all you have to do is give it to me. And if you give it to me, I will multiply it. That's how it works. But you got to be willing to give what you have. Again, totally separate from multiply for a second. Some of you, God's calling you into a new step in life. Maybe for your family, maybe for your work, maybe for your relationship with him, and you're going, God, I don't think I can do that. It's a little scary. And he says, what do you got? This is what I got. Hand it to me. We're going to take it, multiply it, and see what happens. So today as we pray, let's just pray over this, okay? Let's just pray and say, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm just going to give you what I got. And I want you to take it because I want to experience you in a new way. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for the challenges of life. Thank you for this community that we live in and the children here and the families here. Thank you that you placed us here for strategic reasons. You have a reason for us to be here. And it's not just about us. Your love is for the crowds and the people that are hungry and the people that are hurting. So I pray over this today. I ask your blessings over the money that's going out and over the lives that are here and the lives online. Father, just take it and multiply it for your glory and your name's sake. And I pray for people that are here today going, I feel like you're calling me to something new, Father God, but it's too big. It's way too big for me. So I pray for them too, Father God, that today you'll give them courage and a step to take. Inspire them, Father God, by your Holy Spirit. Call us out. And then today we want to put into your hands what we have, be it our talents, abilities, our relationships, and we just say, just take it. We want to experience you. We don't want to be just something we read about, not just religion where we read and we do certain things. It's experiencing you in our lives, whatever that may look like. We trust you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.